Now, summer is very much here. It's coming and going, to be honest. Time to chat summer tech and gadgets with journalist Elaine Burke. Elaine, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. So Elaine, you host for Tech Sake podcast and Connection AI podcast.
Yes, yeah, I
just
do.
Make sure we get that in.
Yeah.
So I've actually heard you on the show a couple of times before and I'm fascinated by your brain and how you know so much. So
let's crack it open.
So help, yeah. safety first. Scammers like when we're frazzled travelling, right?
Yes. So the modus operandi of scammers is they try to catch you out at a point of panic where you're less likely to deploy those critical thinking skills and, yeah, exactly, verify something. So that's why really common tactics are things like you owe a toll or your package isn't going to be delivered. And at this time of year, your booking for your holiday reservation is compromised and you're going to need to re-enter your credit card details in order to reconfirm that. So because they know
that scared me. Your holiday will be cancelled. That would put the fear of you're on your way to the airport. You go, oh, why? What did I do wrong? It's very clever, isn't it? Because you assume you did something wrong.
Exactly.
Wow.
And you're in that moment of panic. And instead of double checking that email or text messages from a legitimate source, you just
respond, and
you enter in your details. So the problem there is also these scams are helped along by what we now have with generative AI capabilities to be able to make emails look even more legitimate, make fake websites look even more legitimate. And they know that there are popular sites out there that people use. So the same way people in Ireland constantly get text messages about eFlow, because it's known to scammers that that's a system that we use here. And if you text enough mobile numbers from Ireland,
you'll hit someone who
passed through a toll that day. So say a site like booking.com, they have warned that scams like perpetrating to be from booking.com and even imitating real residences on the site themselves that they're trying to take down have increased by like 900%.
Do we have any chance against this tide?
You just have to be really careful. Anytime anything is asking for your credit card details online, even when it's legitimate, you should be slow and cautious when you're entering in that information. Even when it comes to online shopping, I always advise people, don't store your credit card details. That helps the shop. That doesn't help you.
That's good.
Like, it's good for you to actually be slow and conscious in your purchases. And the same goes when they're trying to, you know, create a panic in you. And no legitimate service should be trying to panic you and make you make rash decisions. So whenever that's what you're feeling, you should definitely try to remember to have a moment of pause there. But yeah, I know people who are, the thing about being scammed is it's not about how tech savvy you are. I know very tech savvy people have been caught out by these travel scams in particular.
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. Came very close to entering in details and then just took a moment. Because it can hit anyone. And like, people have this idea of the people who get scammed, and it's anyone can get scammed because it's a moment of vulnerability most of the time that you acted on.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. So the big holiday nightmare is your phone is lost or stolen. I was in New York last year and I had my phone open with Google Maps on and it was whipped out of my hand. And my wallet was open as well.
Oh no.
And within an hour they had maxed my credit card. And here's something you don't know. The Apple store is open 24/7 in New York. But the bank were brilliant and I was sorted, but it was like blood drained from my face, had to report it. It kind of ruined the rest of the stay, obviously.
It does.
It's all sorted now, but it was a nightmare. It was actually stolen. So what do you do when you're locked out of your phone?
Yeah, like the saving grace there is that, you know, because we have like payment systems and things on our phone now, fraud prevention systems in banks are genuinely very good. And if you're going to report something, they're going to sort it out for you typically. Like, the losses there tend to be minimized because of those teams. But the stress that you're under and the time it takes to sort all that out, like, that's not helped, especially when you're not at home, you're on holiday, because you're removed from your normal environment and you don't have the usual things that you might use. So even if people have set up things like Find My Phone, Find My iPhone and things like that, you typically go to your desktop computer, your laptop computer to launch that service and find your phone. So if you're on holiday, you're not usually away with all that stuff. You might be by yourself, so you might not even know anyone that you can do that with. So sometimes it's gone and you have to kind of think of what you're going to do there, because our phones actually access a lot of things now. Like you said, you have wallets on it, you have personal accounts on it, all your contacts that are on it, because once a bad actor gets your phone, they will often copy down your contacts and then they become part of a list that's going to be targeted and may even purport to be from you as well with messagings. So do have your phone protected with, you know, biometrics like fingerprint, face ID or a passkey, all that stuff, because that just, anything that slows them down to getting into the phone, it just creates an increased likelihood that they will just wipe it completely before they try to do anything with it. Like, they're still not going to get it back to you. But you do want them to go down the route of actually wiping it and not trying to get the data off.
The guy who saw my phone stopped at the 7-Eleven and bought like an apple juice. Like, wow, he's pretty casual.
Yeah, very casual about it. Yeah, pretty chill. Yeah, but, once he saw the wallet was open, he was like, free and easy.
Yeah, free and easy.
And he probably thought you were going to get that money back anyway, so he might as well go.
That's what I did think. I did think that there was a notion there that, knowing how it works now, I'm not as much of a victim as I could have been now that
100%.
It's bizarre.
But something that I was very conscious of when it happened to me, my phone was stolen as well and I was on holiday. One of the first things that I did after I cried my eyes out was I got my partner's phone and I rang my mobile service provider and told them to suspend my service so that no two-factor authentication codes would be sent to that phone anymore. Because that's like, we set up this thing called two-factor authentication for extra security. But what typically happens is you're logging into something on your phone and it texts your phone the code. So if they've gotten into your phone, they can still receive those codes because it's your phone that those codes are texted to. Two-factor authentication works better when it's not all on the one device.
Have you had that the blood leave your body when you get locked out of your WhatsApp and you know somebody's in your WhatsApp?
Oh my God, the fear of that. Like, so if you do that, then no two-factor authentication codes can be sent.
We're laughing because we're nervous. That's why, right?
Yeah, and if you do need to get access to things like Find My Phone, get access to your email, get access to your booking confirmations and all the things that you need for your holiday, your boarding passes, all that kind of stuff, you'll probably need to get access to your email. And if you are secure and you've set up two-factor authentication on your email and you don't have your phone anymore, you need your access codes. There'll be commonly with Gmail, and I'm sure over the service is very similar, they have secret codes that they will give you when you set up your account, or if you go into your settings you can find them, and you should travel with those codes.
Yeah.
Because if you are locked out of your phone and you get help from someone, I'm sure people will help you, or if you know you're traveling with someone and you try to access your accounts from their phone, it's going to be hard for you to do that because you're from, you know, an unknown location according to your account and it's an unknown device, so you're going to need to get through the layers of security that you've set up. But it's good practice
that
those layers
the fear,
of security,
isn't it? It gives me the fear. Like, okay, so I'm tracking devices for your luggage. I want to ask you about that. Are they worth it?
Yeah, I think like I travel light, so I actually tend to just have my luggage with me.
Yeah.
But I know people who've used these tracking tags and found them really useful. And even just the novelty of being able to see exactly when it's arriving on the belt and you don't have to stand up until it's absolutely necessary and wait like everybody else is doing. Like, there was a really common problem there. It was around COVID time and the recovery of the travel industry, and just everything went a bit haywire for a minute and bags were going missing a lot. And I know a lot of people who knew more than the people on the ground about where their bag was.
Because they
had a tracking tag on it. And that actually helped coordinate an effort to get the bag returned to them because they had evidence on their phone. Because also, like, if you ever have lost luggage, you do need to be able to describe the luggage and all that stuff to say that it's yours. But if you literally have a tracking tag that's linked to it, that's pretty good evidence that it is your bag that you packed yourself.
Niamh on the team here is tracking us there. A set of AirPods that went from Rathmines to Turkey, and now today they've landed in Outer Mongolia.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I wonder if they've been stripped for parts at some point. I don't know. That's really
stripped for parts. I can hear her screaming from down here. Her AirPods have been stripped for parts. Listen, thank you so much. There's so much more to cover here. Just very quickly, water everywhere. How to protect your phone on the beach.
Yes. Yeah, so your phone has more than likely got a level of water resistance and dust resistance. And
so
I have
water,
to stress those words. It's not proof.
Yeah.
Typically. So if you are going to the beach, it is a good idea to protect your phone. And that means either just keeping it in a bag. But, you know, if you think it's going to be a bit of a rambunctious time at the beach, those pouches that are sold pretty commonly in places that put it in a little pouch, you can have it dangling from your neck as well.
Yeah.
It keeps it away from water, keeps it away from sand, and it prevents it from being destroyed.
And they're affordable. And you can buy them normally near the beach, I found.
True. Well. Yeah. Yeah. Especially like if you're on at a holiday destination, you'll find places selling them.
Yeah. So you would absolutely say protect your phone from...
It's just a good idea, and also protect it from overheating. So try not to have it out on the beach for, like, you know, to protect it from the elements, but also protect it from the heat as well. Your battery will drain faster in heat too. So,
will it?
Yeah, and like you're more than likely going
to
be using your camera more. You're going
to
be using your maps more. All of the things that you use that drain a lot of battery, you use more.
Elaine,
when you're away in holiday.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much. Loads of information there. That's it for us today. Thanks for listening and for your texts and emails. Stay tuned for Drive Time with Cormac, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.